Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Clapham Grand. Please welcome a man who's just taking his own photo for his own obituary. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. There we go. It's good to have a working microphone. Hello. Oh, you're much better than last week's audience. Thank you. The person who wrote that joke might, the ghost of them might be in this theatre, who knows. Welcome to Richard Herring's last socially truncated podcast. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We're back at the Leicester Square Theatre in September and October. I mean, definitely wave six by then, but we'll see. Though I was talking to Timmy Lee from the Confessions films. His bum was in some foam. There's a duck under someone. He calls it Rehullistabur, apparently, so we're going to see if that catches on. Hey, look, before we crack on, and we might do some stuff from this in the show, I've written another book of emergency questions, and the people here tonight, and hello to everyone who's watching online, I hope the audio's synced up this time, this is the cover of my new book I'm going to reveal for the first time. Are you excited? Except it was on Twitter earlier. There it is. It's going to be that big as well. It's going to be a very unwieldy thing. It's called Would You Rather? I'm going to ask. Look at that. And someone can win that. Some point. Very exciting. So that's out on October the 7th. You can pre-order from all your favourite bookshops. It's on Kindle. I think we're going to do an audio book of it somehow. We'll see. It's just me asking a load of stupid questions. But it's fine for your kids. Your kids can... There's one that mentions being sucked off, but it's all right. Because it says sucked off in a tornado. So it's fine. Your kids won't know. They might make me take it out. They haven't proofread it yet. So it's family-friendly. Perfect Christmas gift. So please do check that if you can. Plus, I made my daughter write 11 questions for it. My six-year-old daughter, my favourite one of hers is, would you rather be 0 feet tall or infinity feet tall? It's pretty good. And she said infinity so she could look at the clouds. I said, no, if you're infinity feet tall, you wouldn't be able to... You'd be around the universe. You wouldn't be able to get in the clouds. We had a good discussion. It's very good for... What I've discovered, having a six-year-old child, is my work is very good way of just having a conversation with the child. Maybe that's because of who I am. I don't know. But anyway, please do buy that book. That would be very nice of you if you did. What else have I got? Well, talking of my children, we were playing I Spy. I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And the 6-year-old understands the rules of I Spy and can spell now, so you can play I Spy with my little eye. The 3-year-old wants to play, but doesn't know his letters. He hasn't really grasped the game. He's very keen to play it. But we let him do it with colours. We were driving the car the other day, and he said, "I spy with my little eye something beginning with blue steering wheel." So we got that one. But also, if you don't get it first time, he tells you what it is, which I quite like. That's quite a lie. No. And he'll just get, you know, it's good when you're doing letters and he just guesses whatever he wants. It's very amusing. But then I was taking him out later for a walk and he fell over. The dog knocked him over and he was crying for about half an hour. And so I thought, I'll cheer him up, I'll play I Spy. He said, "Go on then, do I Spy." He said, "I spy with my little eye, something beginning with crying." It was simultaneously the funniest and saddest thing I've seen since Peter Bainham said, when I came back from my granddad's funeral, "I'm delighted that your granddad is dead." That's the last time I both laughed and cried as much. And I've been reading the White Ship by Charles Spencer, you know, from Princess Diana's funeral. Remember him? That's what he's best known for. He's Charles Spencer is Princess Diana's brother. It's a real sliding doors moment. It's worth, if you're interested in history, the White Ship, I didn't know much about this. It went down and sort of wiped out a whole generation of the English nobility, including the heir to the throne. But King Stephen, who would become King Stephen, was on the ship, but he got off the ship because they'd been drinking a lot and he had diarrhea. And so he wasn't on the ship. That's a real... That should be a better sliding doors film, wouldn't it? The two King Stephens. One doesn't get off the boat and dies, and one has a shit and survives and becomes king. So that's my favourite bit of history. Thanks, Charles Spencer. Thanks for that. So let's move on. My guests this week... One is probably best known for playing Fizz Gamble in Grave New World, and that isn't Ed Gamble. That's the confusing thing. That's the other one. And the other one, I think, is best known for his voiceover for the Kazoo Yeah You Can advert. I'm not convinced it's him, but I mainly want to talk about that. Will you please welcome James Acaster and Ed Gamble, ladies and gentlemen, from the unpopular off-menu... The Unpopular Off-Menu Podcast. Come in. Come in, sit down.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, I'll do it. Kazoo, yeah, you can. Before the show, you said, I've got one for you, but I'm not sure if it's you or not.
Well, I Googled it, and then it said someone else's name came up, and I thought, is someone like doing... It'd be funny if it was the bloke from Love Island again, yeah. Doing an impression of you. I thought some of them... Because sometimes they get people to do... There's one with, I think, Izzy Sooty does, and I can't work out if it's genuinely her or someone doing an Izzy Sooty impression.
It's normally her.
Yeah, so... But, you know... What does it mean?
Oh, kazoo, fucking idea.
When you went in.
Yeah.
Is it meant to be... Kazoo, is that meant to sound like can you? Yeah, you can. Kazoo, can you? Yeah, you can.
I don't feel like a voiceover audition is the time to start chucking around like creative ideas.
Surely you need to know what it means.
No, it's fine.
It sounds like it's meant to be a pun or something, and then it's not. It doesn't.
I think it's a pun on the phrase, ooh, yeah, you can, which isn't a phrase. But that's how I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, yeah.
ooh, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced about that.
I love it.
Yeah?
I always love it. I love being in Ubers, and when it comes on in the Uber, I always say to the Uber driver, "That's my friend." And then I have to have this conversation when they go, "But what's it about?" I don't understand.
Do you think that's why they did it, just to make people go, why is the man saying those words? And then you've said it so many times.
And then you're in, and the next thing you know, you bought a car.
Kazoo.
Ooh, kazoo, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can play a kazoo. Maybe the bloke who wrote it at school, someone said, "Can I play the kazoo?" And they went, "Yeah, you can." And he thought, "I'll reference that."
Always have it in the bag. When I start a business, I call it kazoo. And I say, "Kazoo, yeah, you can," just like we used to say in school.
Anyway, pays fucking shitloads.
Yeah, I meant that. Good, I'm glad. And why are you playing a man called Gamble in a forthcoming show called Grave New World?
Yeah, I didn't know this.
You didn't know this until I was introduced. Well, my friend Stuart Laws, who's a production company of Turtle Canyon, do little shorts on YouTube, and he wanted me to go on and be a soft drinks expert. And often, that I would say, and I don't think Stuart will mind me saying this, all of his ideas are underwritten. And I had to...
I think he will mind you saying
yes. As soon as I said it, actually, I thought, that's offensive. I had to be a soft drinks expert, and he said, what's your name going to be? And first name, Fizz, that was very easy. And then I just thought, second name, Gamble, because that'll be a nice little in-joke. And I was being called Fizz Gamble. I'd forgotten it. That I'd called the character that until you introduced me. When you said the first guest is... he played Fizz Gamble, I thought, oh, that's something Ed's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was something I'd done.
And then
as
you
well.
Said, and it's not the one called Ed Gamble. I was like, what the f-? Oh, yeah, it was. Ooh, yeah, it was. That's what I thought.
Well, Fizz Gamble is like a new kazoo type pun on the name Ed Gamble. It's there's Fizz Gamble, Ed Gamble.
It works just as well.
Good. Well, I hope you're both well. You do a podcast, you two together. Didn't know. I've had you on both on so many times, and I didn't know you did that podcast together. I've
been on the back catalogue of all our appearances on this podcast, Richard. It's mainly you begging to be on our podcast.
Didn't know you did one together. And I've been on it, and I didn't realise it was you two together that were doing it. Well, I thought it was a real genie, so that's why I was very invested in it when I did it.
You were. You were very invested in it when you did it, to the point where you were awful.
There's definitely a balance, because sometimes guests aren't invested in it enough, and we found out to our cost that guests can be too invested.
Yeah.
Richard.
Often cited as a classic episode.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is. It is a bit of a classic episode. Many people genuinely believed you were a member of the public who had won a competition and didn't understand the podcast.
Because as a joke, I introduced you as a competition winner, and we got loads of tweets from people saying, oh, this poor competition winner's not doing very well.
Yeah.
And it's on my Wikipedia page now. It says in 2021, or where is Richard Herring won a competition to appear on the Hoffman. And when I was filming a film with Sian Clifford off of Fleabag...
That's exciting.
She turned around and said, your voice is very familiar to me. I've heard you on the couple of things. What was that? I found out it was all a joke what you were doing. When did the boys put you up to? When did they tell you to do... So she was invested in the fact that I was pretending to be a competition winner. Sian Clifford, I was maybe acting alongside her, being all serious acting.
Yeah, people in the biz
were
even hoodwinked into thinking you were a talentless member of the public.
We have done that, though. We've recorded episodes with competition winners before.
Yeah.
And they have been an absolute fucking disaster.
Yes. Of course I remember it. I remember it to the day I die. It was insane. There were two competition winners. One was a very normal kind of like episode that we obviously didn't put them out. We were very clear on that. When we were approached by Comic Relief, I think it was, going, we'd like to do it so that people can win and become a guest on the podcast. We went, absolutely. We refuse to ever put them out, by the way. But we'll do it as an experience for them. And one lady did her menu and it's pretty normal. And then another lady, her brother won it for her as a surprise.
It was an auction.
Yes, he really paid through the nose for it. It was a surprise for her, and he was saying it's because it's her favourite podcast and she loves you guys. It turned out that he had once had a conversation with her and they kind of got their wires crossed, and he thought that she knew what the podcast was, but she had never heard of it. Didn't know what the format was, didn't know what it was at all. And it wasn't like you doing a joke. Genuinely a person who didn't know what the podcast was.
Right.
And even though it was 2 p.m, she was shit-faced. It was a struggle.
It was a struggle, and it turned out she didn't so much like the podcast as she'd seen James on television and fancied James.
Yes.
So it, within a minute, she'd gone, well, who cares what I want for a starter? Do you have a girlfriend?
I said, yes. And then apparently, that was me being an asshole.
Anyway,
really kicked off about that.
A brother had paid a grand for that.
A grand. And he's just sitting there next to her, just smiling, trying to be nice to us. He's prompted her along, going, just tell them what you'd like as your starter. But then she had this piece of paper. She was like, I've written it all down. And we're like, oh, great, she's written down a menu. But it was, would you like to go on a date with me? Maybe we, absolutely mad.
But if she's paid a grand, I think you have to...
Do what you want.
You've got to shoot your shot, right?
At one point, it was over Zoom, and at one point... Because she was saying all this stuff, and I looked over into Ed's window, and he was just there, like this, just going, delighted. Although once she established I was not single, she really switched on to you and was like, "What about you?" Huh? And then he was like, "I have a fiance, one up with me," and she was even angrier. She's like, "This is a waste of time."
Happy about that? She snogged her brother in the end. Yeah.
That's good. Well, you know,
we should put that episode out. Actually,
yeah, we should.
It was funny. It was really funny by the end. It's ridiculous.
Well, I've just listened to your bonus episode that's just gone up, which you didn't decide was deserved to go into the series.
Well, it was too late by the time we found out that we could get this guest. It was the end of the series.
Yeah. Well, it was a very exciting guest.
Yes,
of Dan Aykroyd. I saw you got Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, you immediately tweeted that you were angry about it.
Very cross.
That's genuinely, whenever we get a big guest through that I know that you've not had, I think about you immediately. I can't wait till Herring finds out about this. He's going to be fucking livid.
But then I think, well, if he'll do theirs, he'll probably come on mine. It's a lot of people have compared it to the Brian Blessed episode of this podcast, which I don't think is entirely fair, though. He was loquacious. He was... He didn't really. This is Dan didn't really appreciate the format.
He didn't really see it as a back and forth.
No,
he'd done a lot of prep.
He had
more prep than anyone has ever done for the podcast.
Yeah.
I would say a very detailed, well thought out menu. He'd thought about the setting, who was going to be there, things they could have in between courses, the drinks to go with every single meal, the whole evening he'd thought about. What he hadn't factored in was us talking to him.
I tried my best. When he started doing the menu, I thought, okay, this is not how we normally do it. I'll try and stop him. And I said, Dan, we normally start at the top by talking about if you enjoy food and then we'll take you through each course. And he was like, well, we can do that at the end. And then just got his head down, didn't look us in the eye and ploughed through a 15-minute monologue about this meal. And then 20 minutes in went, well, I started wrapping it up. I hope I've helped you out with your little project. Yeah.
Blitzed it, advertised his vodka.
Yeah.
Also, I listened back to it. I've only listened back to 3 episodes of the podcast. And I listened back to that one. And he says goodbye after we ask him a question. So it's like we actually get a question in. And we say, like, if you were in Ghostbusters again and you had to not think of anything or it appears and you thought of the your own brand of vodka, what would happen? And he's like, he kind of gives it, oh, it would rain down good vodka on everyone, I guess. Anyway, I hope I've helped you out with your project. And then the rest of the episode is just us trying to keep him on the call.
Yeah.
So it's just us going, tell us some more about your vodka.
Because we've got nothing. If someone comes and does their entire meal straight off the bat, we've got nothing. You know in 8 Mile when Eminem does all the insults about himself first and the other battle rapper's like, well, what the fuck do I say now? That was... Yeah. He 8 Mile'd us, that guy.
He did 8 Mile us. And Ed's right about he just had his head down. So that's what you can't really appreciate on the podcast, and what we didn't say is that he had all of his menu written down and stuff.
So he's just reading.
So he just was like that. And we couldn't see his face and he couldn't see us. And we were just looking at each other on the screen, just laughing openly at each other at what was happening to us.
And how excited were you before, and at what point did you kind of think, oh, well, this
I
is never not...
thought, I didn't think it was going to happen, because we quite often get, you know what it's like, it's like, oh, we might have this person, but then it always, you know, it goes away. So we're like, this is never going to happen, until right before, when he came on the call, I was like, fuck, it's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
And just before we started recording, he picked up a tiny toy plane that he had on his desk, and he spun the propeller around, and he went, Spitfire! I was like, fuck, this is going to be great.
Yeah. I was excited then. I wasn't excited before, because I was like, well, this will... You just assume this will go bad. Because, like, it's something really great, should be exciting, so don't get too excited about it. But when he went, Spitfire, I was like, brilliant.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good. He's up for a laugh. This is great. But actually, he saves that for before the podcast.
Well, had he ever done any podcast? I mean, I suppose he seems like he's pretty down on advertising his vodka.
I think he's done... After we recorded it and put it out, everyone was like, yeah, I've heard him on podcasts before. He always does that. Like, well, no one fucking told us. I think he's done like Joe Rogan and a few other things where he just goes on and like plows into the vodka chat.
Right. Because it would be nice to, I mean, it would be to hear you guys like riffing off Dan Aykroyd. That's what we wanted to hear. To get a little tiny bit of it.
Yeah. I think that's what we thought would happen, maybe.
Yeah.
We'd be able to do a little bit of that. But I much prefer what happened.
Yeah.
I think the fact that at one point he is just advertising his vodka like he owes money to all the, everyone in town and he needs to sell this vodka, otherwise he's dead meat.
My favourite thing is you just laugh every time you start. You can hear you laughing every time he starts doing it.
Then
you start going, if you had to make a cocktail out of your... You start asking him more and more vodka questions so you can laugh at him advertising it.
When you realise that someone is... as long as you ask them a question about the vodka, they will answer it. So you realise you can just say to them, what about if you made a cocktail for chimney sweeps? What would that be? And that he'll just go, this could be a sale. I've got to do it.
Yeah. He just listed off a cocktail he'd make. Yeah.
It's good. He came up with it.
The Ghostbusters question, and James asked that question, if you were thinking of the Crystal Skull instead of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, what would happen? I was like, I nearly gave James a round of applause for that. I was like, what a fucking question. It's Ghostbusters, it's incorporated the vodka. Surely he's gonna follow this riff. He's gonna come with us on this.
Yeah.
And he did just go, oh, it'd rain down lovely vodka on everyone.
Yeah, great.
But didn't he say something like, I would just keep my mind blank?
Yes.
Initially, which is, it was the point of what they were trying to do, and then they couldn't keep
that. Wasn't the question I asked.
Yeah.
I said, if your character thought about the crystal head, what would happen? He went, oh, I wouldn't think of it. But in the film, you think of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It's like, no, I've learned my lesson since the first film. Fool me once.
It would be so hard, having been through it once, not to think, last time this happened, I thought the same of Marshmallow Man, and everything went wrong. Yeah. Oh, shit, I've done it again.
No way, you're not falling for it a second time.
Well, it's very well worth listening to. Are there any other episodes that you've where you've had a big guest or someone you're excited about, and it's sort of gone tits up, or is it always... Tends to go quite well usually, doesn't it?
Well, normally, yeah. I think most of the big guests just end up cancelling beforehand, right?
Yeah, most of them cancel on us.
Who's the best person who's cancelled on you? Who's the one you've been looking forward most and then they've said, oh, no, I can't do it? No one cancels on me on this show.
Oh, Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, yeah.
We thought that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Benito always messages us going, Dave Grohl, this Thursday, and we're like, yeah, not going to happen. What are you getting excited for, you little dweeb?
How does Benito know all these people and how does he get in touch?
It's amazing, right? I mean, I think he's just tweeting them.
Okay.
Like you do.
Yeah, like I do. We were talking about how I was trying to get Bo Burnham on, but I don't have any contact for him and he doesn't follow me on Twitter, so I just had to openly ask him on Twitter.
That is
which
pathetic.
Is an if anyone tweeted me openly, say, will you come on my podcast, straight away that's a no.
Yeah. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Groveling. Pathetic. No way I'll go on that person's podcast.
Yeah. I usually say yes, but this year, and I've discussed this a couple of times on the podcast, I just say, sorry, I've just had cancer, so I can't do it. And I'm fine.
Very good. The thing
is, I'm fine. And I've got loads more time. I could have done it easily. I could have done it more easily, but then they go, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry for asking.
Sorry for asking.
Sorry. And I laugh, and I It's like, you should have known I had cancer. And you've really upset me. So it's good. So I'd recommend it. Get a, you know, non-fatal one. If you
I can't wait.
That's my tip for getting out of podcast. You could have used it to get out of this one. It would have been good. How did you guys get together? Did the two of you, how did you two hook up and get together? Good question, eh?
Yeah, it is a good question.
Yeah, very good question.
I've got that written down.
See why you wrote that down.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we've helped you out with your project.
Oh, yeah, we can do that, can't we?
Yeah.
I hope we've helped you out with your project. I've got cancer. Goodbye.
We met on the comedy circuit, Richard.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, at a gig.
What made you think we should do a podcast together about some food?
Yes, good question.
Thank you.
We talked about food all the time. That is just became the foundation of our friendship, was constantly talking about food. I'd never really been into food that much, and then when I started hanging out with Ed, I started thinking, yeah, it's ridiculous that I'm not into food because I'm going to have to eat it forever.
Yeah.
And if I don't enjoy it, then that's a huge part of my life that's going to be absolute dog shit for the rest of my life. So I should start liking food and thinking about where I go to eat and thinking about what I eat, and then always chat to Ed about it. Really enjoyed getting down to specifics with him, places where I should go. Ed's always got loads of recommendations of places to eat. Order that thing on that menu. Here's the best place I've ever had this. And I think, you know, like with anyone with podcasts, you go, what's my favourite conversation to have? I'll do that as a podcast. Yeah. So, yeah, like, I don't know, you were probably like, I love having conversations where I ask people loads of questions and subtly troll them. And then you turn it into a podcast.
What I think about Off Menu, right? This is my criticism of Off Menu.
That's what we're here for.
It's
good.
It's a load of fucking shit. Not as good as my podcast. What I think is, like, if it's people who like food, you're really skinny and you're really fit. I want to see it hosted by a couple of really guys are really all women who've really got into food and real. I want Mr. Creosote. Yeah. Mr. Creosote.
You want someone like being sick while they're hosting the podcast.
They've eaten so much food, they can't. I think that would be a better podcast. Mr. Creosote can't get the original now.
You want someone who loves food so much it's damaged their life in some way.
Yeah. Because you're not, you don't look like you like food that much because you're skinny and fit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Firstly. But no, I mean, you know, I regularly chuck a bite in and then explode.
I've seen Ed eat so much that he definitely regrets his life.
Oh, yeah. Two or three times a week.
But how do you do it? Because I'm on a diet. I'm dieting now.
And you're looking good, Richard.
If I eat a piece of bread, I put on a pound. Mm-hmm. Like one piece of bread. That's it. So how do you manage to scoff all these posh Michelin stars? I was saying, the Michelin star, I'm going to sit with it. How do you go to these Michelin star restaurants?
Well, a lot of the Michelin star restaurants will be very small, like wee little portions.
Yeah. Yeah. The Matalan star restaurants are the ones I go to. They're the best.
Ed, I'd say your life is divided into working, eating and exercising, right?
Yes.
And when you're working, you're normally thinking about what you want to eat and where you want to go and exercise. And when you're eating food, you're often thinking, I really need to exercise because all this food is killing me.
Yeah.
And then when you're at the gym, you're going, I hate it here and I want to go and eat some food as soon as possible.
Thanks for perfectly describing my absolutely horrific existence.
And I just lucked out with my metabolism.
It's coming, man. It's coming. I can't wait. I don't know what age is going to happen, but fuck, he's going to be so fat immediately and I can't wait for it to happen.
It will happen.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a laugh. I think people will like it when I get my just desserts, literally. And then I can walk on stage and people will be like, we always knew this would happen to him. And it's weird that he hasn't stopped eating ice cream all the time. Now it's happened.
Yeah, I want you to return to stand-up in, like, 15 years' time, and you've put on about 10 to 12 stone, yeah. But I want you to wear the same clothes as you wore for your last gig.
Yeah, I'll be up for that.
Yeah.
I'll do that, yeah.
That would be good.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, this is something that came from the last podcast. That I don't think you were here last week for that part. But I was wondering whether I've yet had the photo taken that will appear on my own obituary.
Yeah.
Or whether, you know, have I done my most... It's like, A, will I live much longer? And B, have I done the most famous thing, the most successful thing that I've done in my career yet? And it's difficult with me because I haven't done anything that successful.
I know, I'm going to... Just Google, because I know already in my head what photo is for you.
Okay,
yeah, because it's the one I've seen all the time.
But if I went, if I did, but it's not necessarily the photo of you doing your most successful thing that'd be used for your obituary, right?
Not always, but usually they'll pick out something like, oh, remember this guy from, you know, there's a chance it's Leon Herring for me, right? There's a chance.
Where is it? There it is. That one. That absolute classic. There, everyone's seen it a lot of times. When you're brushing your hair back behind your ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that'll be on the obituary?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I hope it's not that one.
That one. It'd be that one.
But also, you know, it's an interesting... Do you think your photo's been taken that will be on your obituary yet? Or do you think there's something... Because if you did something exceptional at the age of 60 or 70, that's probably what they would put up as the photo. Or if you just were famous when you're 60 or 70. Quite interesting. I can't work out whether you guys...
Well, the photo that comes up of me first, if you Google my name, is a picture of me in fake tan, because I was playing a character in a show and we had to go to a film premiere or an awards thing, and they fake tanned me up as a joke. But unfortunately, the photo doesn't reference what was going on or where I was or that it was a comedy character show. So I regularly get tweeted going, Google, I've fucked you over here, mate. So I look dreadful. So they probably use that one.
Yeah, I hope they use that. Do you think you've the photos out there?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think now. I mean, I don't know at what age I'll die at.
Yeah, well, you don't know. That's the thing.
If I died now...
But then the photo... If you died now, the photo's definitely been taken.
Yeah,
unless
they
take a photo of you dying and put on your obituary. Here is James A. Caster as he died.
That's what they should
use. Keep shooting. Yeah. Anyone got a camera, just keep taking a photo in case he dies. So they should use that.
They should just take a photo of people as soon as they're dead and just use that in the obits.
Well, that's how it used to be. Death masks used to be. That's how they make a death mask for someone, wouldn't they? And that would be it. And that would be how you remember, because there were no photos. Let's do that. Let's kill one of you and make a death mask.
Tonight?
What? Richard, that's horrible.
Come on, that'll be so good for my downloads.
Yeah. Work quite nice, yeah. We're in prison.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, I've got another question. Are you both in? You're both in relationships now, it seems. Yeah. If your current partner was going to leave you for a world famous comedian, who would you like that? Who would you most like it to be that they left you? It's to both of you. It's to both of you.
Out of all the
world famous comedians.
Oh, that's a really good question.
It's just one I ask
an
everyone.
Absolute piece
of shit.
I
ask everyone.
It's a good question. It's a good question, isn't it?
I'd want them. I'd want whoever she left me for to be, you know, I'd want her to be looked after financially and maybe a much older man.
Immediately defecting over on his side. Immediately, first chat you get. I mean, my answer would be the same guy again.
Same guy.
Also, my
it
girlfriend
would be
likes
good if it. I mean, if it starts to become a personal vendetta, you go, "Oh, the first take my girlfriend once, yeah. Fool on me."
I would just think it. I mean, to be fair, I thought it was funny the first time, so I'd absolutely find it hilarious if it happened again. Absolutely fair enough. I bear him no ills as it is. So I'd find it very funny if he did it again. And I'd be like, I'd even say to him, "That was funny, actually, man." Oh, well done.
And he probably wouldn't say anything, would he?
He wouldn't say anything, never does.
I very much...
He'd do a little noise now and again.
Sometimes he makes a little noise.
I very much enjoyed your most recent show.
Thank you.
In which that is discussed. It was an extremely funny show.
Thank you so much.
So do download that. I paid a tenner for it.
Tenner, nice one. Thanks. Yeah, yeah. It's on my website.
Yeah.
JamesAcaster.com.
Ed, what's it like being in a double act with the greatest stand-up of their generation when you do stand-up as well? Must be difficult to... Well, must be difficult to cope with.
I don't know. You tell me, Richard.
Yeah, well,
you did it first.
That's what the question is. Don't applaud him. That's what the question... That's what the question's referring. He hasn't got me. That was my self-guess.
Oh, yeah, that always comes across well. If you go, "He hasn't got me."
That was a self-guess.
I'm clever. I got this.
I got me. That was me, not him.
You left that door wide open, mate.
I'm really looking forward to when we're older and we publicly hate each other. Yeah. And we do little coded tweets about one another. Well, you do coded tweets about me and I would just be searching my name on Twitter like a mad bastard.
You seem to
like... What's he said about me now?
You seem to like and respect each other, which was never part of our double act. That wasn't how our double act worked. I mean, I liked and respected him.
But, yes, you liked...
But it turns out...
It was not a two-way street.
It was not a mutual feeling.
Oh, do you reckon you could extend an olive branch now and use the cancer thing as a...
Well, you would hope that would be... He knows that I've had cancer.
He knows you've had it.
Yeah, he knows I've had cancer.
Heard from him? No.
No.
Just so
I've heard
Ed.
From him via interviews that he doesn't think I'm very good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nice to know that just before I die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He doesn't think you're very good.
Yeah.
And he only reaches out to people when they've got cancer if he rates their comedy. They don't deserve it otherwise.
But you do get... I mean, I always find it, like, weird. I mean, because you started as friends and then you've got this double act. Yeah. And you seem to travel around a lot, go on holidays together and travel around.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's all going fine. You still call each other friends and stuff. It's all...
Yeah, very easily. We've spent all day together yesterday. Ed made loads of pizzas from scratch and I ate all the pizzas. It's a pretty good friendship.
Do you ever think your podcast is a very different thing, though, isn't it? Like, we do just record us having a chat.
Yeah.
There's no, like hardcore creative element to it where we end up having arguments over like one line or whatever.
Sure.
And we're pretty like late on in our careers. Like when you were with Stu, it was like early on and you were young and like hungry for it.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't give a fuck now. This is just for fun. So the friendship's the most important thing, I think.
Do you think you'll ever take it to the next level? I mean, assuming that hasn't happened.
Never say never. I mean, you know.
If
fan fiction on the internet is anything to go by, yeah.
If you did take it to the next level, who would be the postman and who would be the letterbox?
I think we all know that, Richard.
I don't know that.
And there's the answer.
I'm going to try out some of my new book, Would You Rather, book on you guys, see if there's any good ones.
You're going to try out some of your new book?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you some questions from my new book.
No wonder he doesn't respect you.
I didn't hear that, but I don't know. So that I don't have to respond if I didn't hear it. Would you rather go on a cruise with Tom Cruise or a walking holiday with Christopher Walken?
Good question.
Strong.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I guess with the cruise with Cruise, do you need to hang out together all the
time?
I mean,
I think it'd be rude to accept the invitation to go on the cruise and then just say, I'm not going to see you for the...
Would he want to hang out with...
Yeah, well, he's invited. I mean, I'm assuming in this scenario, Tom Cruise is wrong. I said, Ed, do you want to come on a cruise with me?
Yeah.
And you've gone, yeah. And then you're suddenly going, oh, I'm going to go swimming. I want to go and play deck tennis.
Deck tennis?
Yeah.
It's tennis on the deck. I would love to go on the cruise. That's what I would pick.
Yeah.
I think I like Christopher Walken more as a... actor, and I like going walking more than I like going on boats. Yeah. But I've never been on a cruise before, and I assume it would be nuts. And Tom Cruise also, I think, is nuts. And I would like to be in that situation where the whole world seems like it's gone insane, rather than on a very long walk with a man who I've seen be interviewed and is like getting blood out of a stone. So I don't think I would like to go for a walking holiday with Christopher
Walken.
Well
thought out.
I've been on a cruise and they are fucking horrible.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go on another cruise. I'll go walking with walking.
Okay.
But you were performing on the cruise. You were working. That's different.
Well, it was still awful. Like, I had to do...
Bobby Davro nicked his material.
No, Bobby Davro was in the audience and he did have a notebook. I don't know for a fact that he was writing down my material, but I think it's a weird thing to do to take a notebook to another comedian's gig and start scribbling in it halfway through. Especially as the material that I was doing was, why aren't you laughing? How come you're all so old?
That's what Bobby Davro does now. He goes on stage, hey, why aren't you laughing? And then the audience go, why are you all so old? And then he goes, I've got diabetes. He talks about that.
It was mad. We were in the little bar room doing shows, and he was on in the big theatre.
Right.
We were dying on our asses every night, like 2 40-minute sets a night, absolute pure silence the whole time. And then one night I was like, well, it's everyone on the ship's probably having a bad time. I opened the door to the theatre and Bobby Davro was dressed as Tom Jones and he had people up on stage dancing to Sex Bomb, losing their fucking minds.
Where was the cruise going and why did you take a gig on a cruise?
It was the maiden voyage of a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Okay. The first time was just for the press and it went out to sea and then back again.
Okay.
The second time, I think we went to... the second leg, we went to Rotterdam and then another one, we went to some other place in France.
They did a lot.
Yeah, I did 10 straight days on the cruise. And the other comedians changed, but they just kept me on. Because they were like, it's going so badly, we don't want to have to introduce another comedian to the situation.
Yeah.
So I stayed on for 10 days.
Wow. And there's no escape. I mean, you can hide in your cabin.
But there's... But we would have found out what picture they would have used.
Wow. Would you do that? Would you go on a... I was offered a gig on a cruise that was like being interviewed by Andrew Collins, actually, weirdly enough. So I'd have been stuck on a cruise with Andrew Collins.
Does he respect you?
I think he slightly loves me. I think he's slightly in love with me.
Yeah, what I think of every time I think of Andrew Collins,
yeah,
genuinely, is your wedding reception,
yeah,
in the evening. And he was stood on the outskirts of the dance floor and Smells Like Teen Spirit came on and he did the mime to the drums at the start. And every time anyone mentioned Andrew Collins, that's all I've seen. Is that every time. Your wedding.
Good. It was a good wedding.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that could happen. Someone could just get that into the wedding, that lose themselves, the music. It was nice. He came to my wedding. That was after we'd stopped doing podcasts together. So, you know, I think we're... The last one we did, he did one of these. It was a bit weird.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's happened so much on this podcast that that's got to be your fault, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe you re-released the Stephen Merchant one. Just pop that out again, why not?
Yeah, it's a historical document.
What happened on that?
It was fine. We built it up as a... He thought I was... I did the same thing where I did What's It Like Being the Guy Who Does All the Good Stuff and Writes All the Good, and everyone else thinking the other person in the double act's the talented one.
Yeah.
And then he got cross because I thought I was trying to make him be rude about Stu and Ricky Gervais, where it was just obviously a joke about... Just a joke about my own expense. I loved it.
I'm going to listen to it.
I wish he just said, "Will you tell me?" That's why then, yeah, at least I could have gone, "That was my joke, Stephen." We went, "I'm not answering that."
So yeah, but then you would have gone, "He hasn't won, he hasn't got me." Would have been that. You wouldn't have been happy.
It was all right. You know, but the awkward one. But also, that's the exciting thing, isn't it, about doing a completely ad-lib comedy and and taking a chance, is it has to go wrong sometimes. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a risk. That's what comedy is. If every time you went, okay, I'm going to be rude to Ed, and then one time Ed got... I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be a moment where either of us say anything to the other that would actually upset us.
No, I think we'd be all right.
But, you know, you might do. But with, say, Stephen Mitchell or Richard E. Grant, when you take a chance with someone you don't know, and then you think, they might really get the hump if I do this joke.
Did you ever find out what that was?
No, not really.
Huh?
Oh, so James doesn't know what podcasts are.
Richard E. Grant wouldn't let me, or his people wouldn't let me put out the entire interview.
Oh.
Of Richard with Richard E. Grant, which I genuinely thought top 10 interviews I've done.
Wow. But there was
And he was great there. And he was brilliant.
He didn't like stuff in there.
I don't know what. There was the one joke where, and I've definitely said this before, but it was when he was just, the Oscars had just happened, but before the Oscars, he'd been really giddy with excitement.
Yes.
And then one journalist went, oh, Richard E. Grant is just playing a part to try and get in with the Oscars by looking like he's all giddy with excitement. And so he was really upset about this. And I said, yeah, I mean, if you were that good an actor, you'd have won the Oscar. And so, but like in that moment, I thought, that occurred to me in the moment, that joke. And I thought, this is early in the interview. There's a good chance he might walk out.
Yeah.
If he doesn't think that's funny. But he laughed and said, very true, and seemed to enjoy it.
Maybe, solid joke, Matt.
Maybe he didn't. It was a good joke in the moment. I don't come up with many, as we're finding out tonight. That's why I've got these questions. Would you rather co-own a car with Jimmy Carr?
I'm beginning to see
I'm giving
how these
you
work.
The two. I'd love if the whole book was just also, there's two questions like this in the whole book.
I'm imagining you writing these in the bollock ward or wherever you were.
Think I might die any second. Wait, would you rather co-own a car with Jimmy Carr, a lorry with Laurie Anderson, or a van with Van Morrison?
Well, Van Morrison, I've been told, is grumpy.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think I would like that. Not, I'm over vans as well at this point in my life. Okay. I don't care. Jimmy Carr, I've met Jimmy Carr. I've been in loads of cars before. Not been in many lorries.
No.
And Laurie Anderson has done one of my favourite albums ever. So I would like to be, please,
okay,
in a lorry with Laurie Anderson.
Good answer.
Probably a car
You
with
insane.
Car. Yeah, a car with car. That guy's loaded. It's going to be a nice car, isn't it?
Well, but you've got to co-own it, so you're going to have to stump up half the money for it. And also, I reckon he's going to be in the car most of the time. He works all the time.
But also, he's probably got really good ways of writing off all the petrol.
True.
Yeah. Car with car.
Yeah. I go for the lorry, because the lorry's
absolutely
most
shocked
valuable.
At that.
The lorry, you know, lorry...
I wanted the lorry, but James took the lorry.
You could take the lorry as well, but also you could sell your co-share in the lorry and have a lot of money as well. That's what I would go for. Don't want any of it. I don't want to share a car with anyone else. It's a ridiculous idea.
But you asked that question. So in the book, do you ask the question and then go, here's what I'd do? I don't know who'd do the other ones, you fucking idiots.
I don't. I allow you to find that out of yourself. Let me try one more.
Do people buy this book? It's just a bunch of questions.
It's just a load of questions and then
That's
you can
book.
Ask them to each other, yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's good. It's like I'm writing all the feed lines and they have to do all the jokes. That's the way I look at it.
Also, astonishing. If I was writing a book that was just a bunch of questions, the last thing I'd bother to do is try them out live on stage. I'll be like, I can't believe I've managed to get this book away.
Well, but then people can ask them and then their friend can say something and then they can go, you know what Ed Gamble said about this? And then it gives an extra element.
Do you genuinely imagine that conversation will ever happen?
That? When do you think people use the book? Genuinely. Someone go, hold on a second. Would you rather?
Well,
like,
one man used it when there was in the Himalayas when all those avalanches happened and he was in, and his lodge got hit by an avalanche and they all thought they were going to die and they're waiting for the rescue services.
That is the worst possible advert for your book.
And they got out of the book. It was before the book. Yeah. They asked each other emergency questions to pass the time.
I would have...
So if you're in a terrible disaster...
If I was in a log cabin that had been hit by an avalanche and I was waiting to see whether we survived or not, I could think of my own questions. And that would be a lot more pertinent than the ones in your fucking book.
You could, but, you know, that bloke couldn't. That's why he needs me. All right, last one.
First question. Which one of us would get eaten first if we don't get rescued?
Would you rather have a time machine that can only take you back to the 1973 wedding of Princess Anne and Mark Phillips... or an invisibility cloak that glitches randomly at least once a minute, making you totally visible for a couple of seconds? I've got some conditions on this. You'd only be able to travel to the actual wedding ceremony and not be able to leave Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
You might get lucky and have 45 seconds of total invisibility, but might appear at any time. By the way, the invisibility cloak only works if you're otherwise totally naked.
Yeah. Yeah. Knew that was coming.
There he is.
Which of those two things would you like best?
Can you go back to the wedding as many times as you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could, it's like a Groundhog Day experience. You could go back, try and get off with Princess Anne, try and get off with Mark Phillips.
You can do different stuff time you go back, right? Yeah, I'd probably go with that. The naked invisibility cloak's too dangerous for me, I think.
Sure.
Do our answers from the previous questions affect this one?
No.
So have I, driven to the cruise ship with Laurie Anderson?
Listen,
and we've gone on.
Hey, Kester, I don't come on the Off Menu podcast and mess around and fuck it all up. I come on and treat it with the respect it deserves and answer all your questions properly.
I don't want
you coming here dismantling the logic of my emergency questions.
I think I would like the invisibility cloak, please.
Okay.
And I would mainly use it to watch shows at Edinburgh that everyone says are bad shows. But I never want to go because I think I look like an asshole comedian sitting there watching a bad show.
Yeah.
But then I always think if I was invisible, I'd watch all of those shows.
But you have literally forgotten the main thing about the invisibility cloak, isn't it? You've completely eradicated that fact.
What happens?
You're going to go and see bad shows, but you don't want to feel like you're bullying the people.
Yes.
Then every 45 seconds or so, a completely butt naked James Acaster is going to appear in the audience and then disappear again.
Depends how big the venue is. If it be a problem.
Good. Well, tell me about the island. You've both been working on a show called The Island.
Yes.
What is? Oh, what? Someone went yes.
That was me.
It hasn't
Richard.
Been. Someone out there was excited. What is it? And who? What is it?
It's a panel show.
Yeah.
Hosted by Tom Allen and Kima Bob and Jason Forbes. A cast of comedians pick their things from categories to go on their island that they're putting together. And it's set on a big ship with Tom Cruise. And we've just filmed all of it. It was Sarah Pascoe, Johnny Vegas, Ninia Benjamin and Ahir Shah were the comedians. And it was a lot of fun.
So do you have the same, a bit like...
Taskmaster.
A bit like Taskmaster.
Yeah, a bit like that.
You've looked at Taskmaster.
A bit like that, but we haven't really gotten down to the dregs of the guest booking yet. So maybe in series 10, wait by the phone.
Yeah, you can come on and just do what a normal man would do.
Maybe when it's on Channel 4, I'll come on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And people still think you're a competition winner.
Well, I did win that competition.
You did win it.
Did win it.
In a way.
In the only way that matters. Yeah. Good. And when's it on the island?
January,
I think, next year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's really upset me now. I didn't think he could ever really upset me, but he's.
I've upset you with the Taskmaster comment.
I'm going to not let this podcast go out.
Can I ask you something about Taskmaster?
Yeah.
And feel free not to answer it.
Okay.
But it's my favourite moment in Taskmaster
okay.
ever. I've watched all of Taskmaster, and I love it so much that we copied it and made a new Dave show coming in January. But there's a moment in your series, in the final ever episode, and it's my favourite moment of Taskmaster, and you're doing the final live task in the studio, and you're all on the stage, and everyone knows it's either going to be you or Daisy who wins.
Yeah.
and you're working away at this thing, making a little bridge out of polos or something.
Yeah.
And you're working away at it. And at one point, Catherine Parkinson just blurts out, "I want you to win, Daisy." What was that about? Because at no point during the series had it looked like you'd pissed her off. So I thought, that's happened off camera.
I don't know. I think Daisy should have won.
Yeah, but
okay, that's not what James asked.
So I think that's what it. I think it was more she liked Daisy than she didn't like me. I think we got on quite well, Catherine and I.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure about Daisy. I'm trying to get Daisy on this to discuss whether she genuinely does hate me.
Yeah.
But that's a good opening gambit to get someone on.
Do you really hate?
I'd love to invite you onto a stage in front of people and ask you if you hate me or not.
So I think, you know, like Daisy was had done that whole week, like heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
Had done all the tasks, at least a bit pregnant and quite heavily pregnant for some of them.
I thought you just described her as weak and heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
And so, like, she'd done incredibly well and was much more, you know, she'd won because, as you say, she'd done it in an interesting and amusing way.
Yeah.
And I just tried to do the tasks as well as I could. But you need to. You need someone like that. You can't go on and do an artificial James. I couldn't go on and pretend to not understand what the question was and do something different like you would do naturally.
Like on Off Menu when you came on as a guest? What happened to that guy?
Well, I was overwhelmed by it. Let's wait till the Champion of Champions, see how I behave during that one. See if things have changed.
You're both going to be on Champion of Champions, aren't you? Facing each other.
Yeah.
I was overlooked.
We've done some of it.
Yeah. I don't know how much we're allowed to reveal.
No. But Alex has talked about the fact that we've done the task.
Oh, yeah, we've done the task.
We've done the task, but we don't.
You've done the tasks.
How'd you get on? How did you get on with the.
Brilliant.
Ah, shit. I did shit. I was definitely not done. But I sort of. I don't know how much we can say. We're not doing like low. I think it has to be a series. It's not even going to count. Even if I win, I'm just going to chuck the trophy down. Okay, this doesn't count.
You're not going to chuck the trophy.
I'm going to throw it back in their face. Go, this doesn't count. I think it was more Daisy's popularity.
Well, Catherine was very upset on that last episode, wasn't she? Because everyone had made fun of her masks that she took during lockdown.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought. I thought maybe...
I was nice about her fucking mask.
Maybe Richard really made fun of the masks and now he's in the bad books.
No, I didn't. I was quite nice about the masks. And then when I saw them, they were pretty good. And I said,
yeah, right at the end. She was clearly really upset about the masks because at the end of the episode, when you go on to get the prizes and the masks are there, they left this in. You look at the masks and you leant down to her and went, "They're beautiful."
I don't know. You know, it's very hard to gauge your own popularity and whether people like you or not. You know, I don't understand why anyone would like... A lot of people don't like me, I know that for sure.
Because you get them on your podcast and you ask them directly.
But I don't understand. I think I'm a pretty nice, cool guy. But I think maybe people who only know me from the podcast think I'm a bit of a dick because that's what I do on the podcast.
You have spent 30 years cultivating that reputation,
but I think I'm a quite nice guy, so you know, I'm happy. My kids, actually, my daughter doesn't really like me either.
No, not a fan.
My son quite likes me.
Oh yeah,
so that's all that matters.
It's him.
That's it.
Not your daughter.
I've created one thing that he
likes.
Can
I understand why your daughter might not like you if that's your attitude? He's the only one that matters.
It's all that matters is one of them likes me. Yeah. I don't care which one it is.
That's a win. Okay. There's someone down here who keeps on eyeing you sympathetically, and is never what you've gone for, ever. If you're eyeing, then you haven't seen him on Taskmaster, because he deserves it.
I've got no more questions for you, that's it.
Go on, ask me if I want to go for a swim in a river with River Phoenix.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good.
Too late to make the edit of the book?
I can put that in. Would I rather... What you've misunderstood is there has to be another option.
There has to be another one.
Yeah, so you have to think of two celebrities with their name.
Is there anyone with pool?
Yeah. No.
Pool is a surname. Go for a swim in a pool with...
Oh, yeah, just think of...
Someone with pool.
Do you want to swim in the ocean with Frank Ocean? Yeah. Jump in the ocean with Frank Ocean. You got to do
it's
a different.
Two swimming ones. It's not that good.
No. Well, that, I mean, not, you did three vehicles earlier, and yeah, you're proud of that.
That example was based on your structure that you've invented.
Yeah.
I've worked out why I've only had you on individually in the past. Because you can team up on me when there's two of you.
A couple of bullies.
I can cope with one of you at a time. But two of you being attacked from two different directions.
Yeah.
It's too much for me to take. Would you rather be nonchalant, semi-chalant, or 100% fully chalant?
Very good. That's nice.
Thank you.
It's lovely.
I like that one.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Oxford really coming through in that question. don't want an answer, no?
No, well, if you can got one.
Doesn't warrant one,
you don't seem to be answering.
In your head, that question isn't... no one has to answer it. They just say it and everyone laughs and forgets about the raging avalanche outside the log cabin.
Yeah, the avalanche is still coming down.
Yeah. Would you rather have all your teeth fall out and have them replaced with the teeth of a Neanderthal man or woman? Or have all your hair fall out and be replaced with wire from a Brillo pad? Neanderthal men's teeth and women's teeth are not like human teeth. I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah. I would rather have the Brillo pad hair. Very easily, because I'd hate to have someone else's teeth in my mouth.
Yeah.
That would be gross, especially if they were that old. And if I had Brillo pad hair, I think that would be useful every now and again if I was cleaning something. Just give it a bit of a...
True, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Would also, whenever you just rubbed your head against anything, it would be quite unpleasant for the thing, though. So human contact would be...
Yeah, but I mean, how often, Richard, do you sort of get down in a prone position and rub your head on someone?
Well, I think when you're snuggling... your head will rub
against...
That's
not how snuggles work.
And right? It's all your hair, by the way. It's the hair all over.
Like a dog.
You've never fucking snuggled in your
life.
It's
hair all over your body. So what, you don't...
Oh, it's hair all over your body.
Yeah, your body.
Oh, see, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Still, I'd go with that.
Yeah, I think Brillo pad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it'd look quite cool as well.
Would it carry on growing like hair does? Would you have to get it cut? Or does it just grow the length of a Brillo pad and then stop?
I think I would like
how
to see...
How have you not thought about that?
Because I've only asked the questions. That's why it's good to road test them. That's going in the book now.
Do you include that in the book?
You don't just ask the questions, you do write the questions as well, Richard. You're not some sort of vehicle for a heavenly being.
I just ask the questions, make you think, you go, what would I choose? And then I'm gone. I'm away. And they go, who asked that question? We don't know. He was here, disappeared on the wind. What is coming up in the future, guys? What have we got? What have we got coming up? You're back doing a tour. Is this new show?
Electric, Ed Gamble, yes. On tour, February next year onwards. Tickets on sale now.
Wow.
Edgamble.co.uk.
That's all your website is, by the way. I looked at your website, and all your website is your tour dates.
Just a tour.
Put a bit of something else on there. Someone's going to interview
so
on
old
a
hat. Putting other stuff on a website.
If someone's going to interview in a podcast, it's just nice to have a little bit on there to give you.
Mm. No, they've got Wikipedia and stuff. It's fine.
It's okay.
But yeah, do come, especially if you live in Scunthorpe.
Ed was reading me all the dates before coming on, and I really encourage everyone to go.
It's quite a long tour. How you guys? Will you guys be okay apart from each other for that length of time? You're going to be able to do the podcast.
We're not touring together. Oh, apart from each other.
Yeah, you'll be apart.
Yeah, we just lived through a pandemic where we didn't see each other and just did stuff over
Zoom.
Over Zoom. That's it now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll never again. What was that? Oh, no, they're talking to each other. Sorry. I haven't done a live gig in quite some time.
James hasn't been in front of an audience since 2019, and I'm constantly worried he's going to throw the microphone down and physically attack one of you, so...
This is my first time in front of an audience since December 2019, since I filmed that show this is very weird, actually. Very odd.
It is, but they are weird.
So when that guy talked, I was like,
well, it was
hello?
A bit weird for...
It's like, and it was real weird, because he didn't... It did stop. It just carried on going, yeah, anyway. Hello, sir?
I think this is a slightly odd space for that. You do kind of, you get quite a lot of stuff back from the audience that you wouldn't normally get. Maybe it's just because it's socially distanced. I don't know, but I've noticed. I've noticed a few conversations going on. I've been listening to them quite a lot. Sometimes it's
Are we taking questions from the audience?
You can. I mean, you'll regret it, but we can.
Yeah, no, I knew I'd regret it as soon as I said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
I mean, there's a...
Probably be a laugh.
Have you got a girlfriend, James? You fucker!
You broke my heart!
What was the shrieking lady who shouted out first?
What lady said poppadoms or bread?
Shriek again. Poppadoms or bread.
Poppadoms or bread. We answered this on the podcast, didn't
episode
we?
Episode 100.
I know, I just listened to
episode
it.
Episode 100.
Very long.
I said broadly poppadoms, but for my dream menu I chose a certain type of bread that I had a stone's throw from this very venue. But it was a pop-up, so it's not there anymore. You had bread?
I had bread. James talked about poppadoms from a certain restaurant in Edinburgh. And what happened, James?
I said that these poppadoms in Edinburgh are the best poppadoms I've ever had. And they contacted me and said, can we put that as a quote in our window? In exchange, we'll give you free food for life. I said, yeah. Obviously you can. And it looks like I'm going to be doing Edinburgh again. I get free curry for the whole festival.
Was it free food for life?
Yeah, they said, whenever you want, come in and you just, the food's on us.
I thought they said free poppadoms for life.
No.
It would have been a shit deal.
Free poppadoms for life would have been... Actually, I'm going to reread that email now. You come on, man.
This is what happens if you throw it.
You've got to know the answer to that. What about you? Yeah, boy. Unlucky Ed.
Absolute pigs. Oh, God, he's very aggressive now.
Your fans are aggressive, man. Yeah. I'm not sorry, Ed.
So angry.
I don't need you to be sorry, man. It's fine.
You can live your choice.
Horrible little sweet life.
He loves desserts. I love desserts. I'm dessert boy. You're a starter boy. I'd say more people on the podcast agree with you.
No.
No?
No, you don't try and seem like the cool hipster one. The dessert is the fucking populist choice, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like starters best.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
I think.
But what did you choose as your starter?
It's what?
Well, what did you choose as your starter again when you came
the
on
the original one, I chose kettle crisps from now and kettle crisps from 1992.
Yeah.
So I could compare the two.
Yeah.
Because you are a fucking genie. Don't you understand your own program?
No,
you're a program. Genie. I want stuff that's magic to happen.
Listen.
That can't happen anywhere else. I can go and buy a starter anywhere I want that exists now. I want something that doesn't exist.
Yes. Hey, listen. I actually did quite like your answers.
Good.
You know, after seeing Taskmaster, I accepted that. I expected every answer to be some food, please.
The best food.
Food, please. Eat it, please.
Sorry for doing the program well. Sorry for concentrating, listening to what it was and doing it properly. And keenly. Like a small boy trying to please his dad.
Yeah. Was that what it was about in your head?
I think so,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And just winning's all that matters.
Do you think?
I don't want to get any more work on TV. Work's all just doing panel shows and stuff. I don't want to do any more of that.
No.
So I don't want to get.
Well,
I don't want
bullshit.
To be. I don't want to be successful so that I can go on TV and do all that. I want to do like talking to people in a theatre.
So your game plan.
Even you didn't buy that by the end of the sentence. I want to do all my panel shows and do TV.
I want to get a load of puppets in an attic and talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on TV. I want to do that. Yeah. Why be on TV when you can talk to the puppets in an attic?
So your game plan when you went on Taskmaster was, I really hope I'm not too entertaining on this. Otherwise, I'll have to do loads of TV and won't be able to continue doing what I'm already doing.
I genuinely, Taskmaster was the last thing on TV that I wanted to do.
And that was it? Ticked it off?
Ticked off, done it.
We might have discussed this before. Do you think having a nut off in between Taskmaster and Taskmaster Champion of Champions, will that affect your performance in any way?
Well,
that's a good question, actually.
I mean, it means that you're the only contestant with two testicles.
Yeah.
No foreskin.
No foreskin.
No foreskin.
To his credit.
There's not a complete male genitalia.
Have you got...
I've got a foreskin. Yeah, fucking hell.
What do you mean, fucking hell? Well, you've got a really long one. Is that what you mean?
Not really good.
Yeah. Fucking hell, you're really the size good. Of it, mate.
You can fit your one bollock inside
it's like a windsock, mate. I went into it. I wanted to enjoy because I was. What happened with the first lot? I was just the first time I did it was the first day I did the tasks. It was just after the general election, and I hadn't slept all night and was depressed.
Uh-huh.
And it was really difficult to concentrate on anything. And then, but also, I was just so nervous that I don't think I kind of relaxed and let myself get into it. So I decided, with the tasks that I did, I just thought, right, I'm going to relax and have at least have a little think about it before then just doing the correct way of getting the task done as quickly as possible.
Before doing it the correct way.
Yeah.
Drink because that's my personality. In the most imaginative way possible.
But if everyone did it nuts, if you had five James Acasters on there doing their nuts thing, it wouldn't
I didn't
be
think
fun.
About it that inventive. I was genuinely trying on the show. Yeah. I was known as not very clever.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking his way around it. He's just a weird bloke.
I know, but that's how it works. And I think, especially in my one, you needed someone who was a bit anchored in some sort of reality for it to work.
My nephews have just watched my series of Taskmaster. They're in primary school, but they've just released the PG versions. So they've watched that and they got obsessed with it. And at the end of one of the episodes, Phil Wang has put himself up as the prize task. So, I win Phil Wang. So they were phoning me constantly, FaceTiming me, asking to see Phil Wang if I've got him. And I'd always be like, oh, you've just missed him. He's gone out to get me some ice cream again. I've sent him to the shops. You've just missed him. At one point, my nephew, who's 9 years old, was like, can we see Phil Wang? I was like, oh, no, he's just gone to the shops again. He was like, oh, the elusive Wang! real highlight.
Very good. Well, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how we... What is anything coming up for you, James Acaster? Are you going to follow up your amazing stand-up show?
Nah. I've got another series. My other podcast, Perfect Sounds, which is about music and 2016 being the greatest year for music of all time. We just started the second series of that. So we've just done an episode with Rosie Jones as the guest talking about A Moon-Shaped Pool by Radiohead. Mm-hmm. And there's loads. I think Ahir Shah's the next guest talking about a very obscure album that was recorded in someone's bedroom in Montreal. So yeah, I'm loving doing that.
So you're just doing stuff in your attic at home, rather than doing stuff on TV.
Everything I'm doing is just sitting on the same sofa. This is the first time I've sat on something different while working. I hate it. just podcasts. Yeah. That's it at the minute.
That's all we need, guys. It's the future.
Yeah,
future.
That's all I want. I don't want to do. I'm like you. I don't want to do any panel shows, any TV. The only panel shows I want to do is when I'm behind the scenes working with Ed and we rip off Taskmaster.
Good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause to these guys from Off Menu, Ed Gamble, James Acaster. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can go.
Thank you, guys.
You have been listening to Hullastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Ed Gamble and James Acaster. Thank you to Scant Regard for playing the theme tune so nicely for us. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm indebted to my friend, director, Chris Evans. Not that one either. Thank you very much to Kathleen McKeegan for her fantastic research work at Hullastapur, rahullastapur.com. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz. First of all, thank you very much to the Clapham Grant for having us for this run. We had an absolutely fantastic time and were looked after brilliantly. We hope to be doing some more gigs there in the future. This is a Go Faster Stripe Fuzz and Sky Potato production. Go to gofasterstripe.com/badges, become a monthly badger. Then go pick up your half-price tickets to the live stream of the new series of Rahullastapur. Go and pick up your tickets to see the show live. All those fantastic guests. richardherring.com/gigs for all the links. I love you. Thank you for your support. Let's get back into the theatres and get back life back to normal if we can. Take care of them. You deserve it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books, and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.